Good morning. Before I start to speak, let's just pray together. Lord, we ask that your Holy Spirit would be here with us, around us, in us, and that as we explore your word together, you would speak to us in the power of that Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So yes, today is Pentecost. It's the day that the Holy Spirit was poured out on all people everywhere. It's the day that changed the world. I know that sounds quite dramatic, but it's true. The events of that Pentecost that we heard about in our reading from Acts, the events that Jesus was pointing towards in the reading from John's Gospel, changed everything. See, 50 days ago, we celebrated Easter Sunday and Jesus' resurrection from the dead. We celebrated the fact that Jesus could not be contained by death, that new life burst from the tomb and death and sin were defeated. So let's have a quick look at what happened in those 50 days and why it is that we now celebrate Pentecost today. Because you remember that for the few days after Jesus had risen, a few days after he disappeared from the tomb, the disciples were still afraid. They were locked up in a room. They were fearful. They didn't know what was going on. And then Jesus appeared to them in that room. He appeared to the disciples. He appeared to Thomas. He spoke to them. He blessed them. He gave them peace. And we know that he stayed with them for some time. At the beginning of Acts, Luke tells us that he appeared to them over a period of 40 days. He spoke to them about the kingdom of God. And he told them that he was going to return to his Father. It wasn't what they wanted to hear, but he said, no, this must happen. I will return to the Father. Go away, stay together, stay in Jerusalem, pray, and the Holy Spirit will come. So they were obedient. They did as he asked. They stayed in Jerusalem. They prayed together and they waited. After 10 days of praying and waiting, they were gathered together for the festival of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came. It's hard to imagine when we hear that story just what it must have felt like to be in that room, to be in that building, and suddenly the whole building was filled with sound. I mean, you've heard what it's like when there's a really, really strong wind blowing. That's what it was like. It filled the room. Not only sound, but flames. Imagine being there. Imagine seeing fire that suddenly seemed to split up and separate, and flames would touch each person there. It must have been absolutely extraordinary. No wonder the crowd who were there were amazed. And then the disciples, as that spirit filled them, couldn't stay silent. They began to speak. They began to speak in different languages. And the crowd must have thought, what is going on? You know, we know these guys are Galileans. How are they speaking fluent Greek, Latin, Arabic, any number of different languages? Everyone who was there could hear God being praised in their own language. They must have been absolutely dumbfounded. It's not surprising that it says they were amazed and perplexed. It's not surprising that some people refused to believe what they were hearing and tried to find a rational explanation for it. So, well, you know, they must have been drinking. But Peter then, this Galilean fisherman, the man we've come to know through the Gospels as impulsive, often confused, often getting things wrong, so scared when Jesus is arrested that he denies ever knowing him, that he hides, he runs away. This same man calmly stands up with the other 11 disciples and he begins to speak. no confusion now, no sign of that Peter that we thought we'd come to know. This man has authority, and he speaks to the crowds. He explains to them just what has happened. He explains about Jesus, who he was, what he came to do. He tells them about the resurrection, what has happened. He goes on to explain to the crowd just what they must do, how they may be saved. We only heard a small part of that speech this morning. It is worth, when you go home, having a look in Acts 2 and reading the whole thing, because it is quite extraordinary. Impetuous, muddle-headed Peter speaks with such power and such authority and such passion that those who accepted his message repented, were baptized, and we hear around 3,000 joined their number that day. Wow, what a sermon that must have been. 3,000 people came to Christ. You see, filled with the Holy Spirit, Peter and the other disciples were changed. Those who accepted the message were changed. The book of Acts goes on to describe just how they were changed, how that fellowship grew and spread, how they met together, they broke bread together, they had fellowship, they drew other people to them, they attracted others because there was something different about them. There was something powerful going on and people could see it and they wanted to know what it was. They came and joined and this movement grew and grew and grew. It was the birth of the church. It changed the world. This movement hasn't stopped growing and spreading since then. Even now, in some parts of the world, people are coming to Christ in similar numbers and with that same passion. This is something like 2,000 years after Jesus died. There is no way, no ordinary human way that that should happen. But that's the point, isn't it? This isn't about ordinary human beings and our power. This is about the power of the Holy Spirit working in ordinary people in extraordinary ways. This morning, I had an email come in, pinged in my inbox, from Thy Kingdom Come. And it had a short video clip from Archbishop Justin Welby. And I want to share some of what he said in that video clip. He said that what happened at Pentecost was the beginning of the greatest movement of people in human history that has done more good for more people than anything else that has ever happened. In this movement of people, nations have been transformed. People have begun to care for the poor, because until Christians began to care for the poor, nobody did. And that continues today. When the Spirit comes, Christians come together. They humble themselves before God. They pray. They celebrate. They worship. They share their faith. And they transform society. The world changes. It's no wonder we celebrate Pentecost today, because Pentecost changes everything. As I'm sure you'll know, at St. Margaret's, we have joined with many churches across the country and across the world to take part in this initiative that Archbishop Justin Welby started some 3 years ago, Thy Kingdom Come, for the 10 days between Ascension and Pentecost, we pray. This has the aim of getting a global wave of prayer going across the entire world. It will change lives, it will change nations, it will change our world. Extraordinary things happen when we pray. Some of you, as I did, will have signed up to get that daily email from Thy Kingdom Come with a short video, a podcast, and a written paragraph, a thought for the day. So, in the early hours of this morning, that popped in on my computer, and that had that video that I spoke about from Justin Welby. But I was struck not just by that, but by the brief paragraph, the thought for today, that was written down. It basically said, everything's not as it should be in our world, is it? Things are not right. Things aren't right in our own lives. You know, those friendships, that situation, that difficulty. Not to mention the pain and the hardship that we see other people going through across the world, and we don't know how to do anything about it. And because all is not well with our world, we pray, Thy kingdom come. We pray, Jesus, please bring change. Please make things happen as only you can. But then, that little bit of writing says, before we do, before we pray that prayer, before we pray for change, just one thing. It says, if you dare to pray this prayer, be ready that God will take you far more joyfully and seriously than you take yourself. Be prepared not just to look on as an observer, but to take a full part in His mission. If you dare to pray this prayer, because prayer is powerful. The Holy Spirit is powerful. It will change the world. When Alfred Nobel discovered an explosive element that was stronger than anything the world had ever seen, he asked a friend and Greek scholar for a word that conveyed that meaning of explosive power. The word that he was given was dunamis, and Nobel named his invention dynamite. Dunamis is the same word that Jesus used when he told his disciples, but you shall receive power, dunamis, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. In other words, you shall receive explosive dynamite power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Think about how that power transformed first century believers. Before the events of Pentecost, Simon Peter couldn't stand up for his faith when he was asked if he was a follower of Christ. After the power of the Holy Spirit was poured out in Pentecost, Peter stood up and boldly preached the gospel, resulting in 3,000 people being saved. After Saul of Tarsus became a believer on the Damascus Road, God led Ananias to pray for him. He was then filled with the Spirit. And from that moment on, he went out and proclaimed Christ in the synagogues. This power is for a purpose. We're not given power just so that we can lord it over other people in any way, shape, or form. We are given power so that we can be witnesses. Power to have the courage to tell other people about Jesus. Power to tell others what Jesus has done for us. Power to live our lives differently. This 10 days of Thy Kingdom Come has been amazing. In our deanery, we've got behind it in a way that we've never been able to before. We've had a series of events that people have come together, different churches across the deanery, including St. Margaret's, have come together and joined in. Many of you were at the Ascension Day service 10 days ago on the top of Reigate Hill, looking out at that amazing view, looking out at our deanery and praying for it. For the whole 10 days, we have had a prayer space going on that different churches have committed to come to take a half day to man that space, to be a presence right in the middle of Red Hill Centre and to pray. St. Margaret's were part of that as well. And between 8 a.m. and 7 p.m. there has been prayer going on in Red Hill Centre. The idea was just that we'd encourage people to come in off the streets so that they could pray if they wanted to pray. And you know what they did? People came in, sometimes just to see what the inside of that building was like, sometimes because they were attracted by the banners, curiosity, whatever it was that brought them in, they came in, but they stayed and they prayed. I am certain that significant things happened during that time, during that 10 days. We just saw so many people who stayed for so long. I think God was moving in people's lives. We'll probably never know what happened, but we don't need to know because it's not about us, it's about God. Yesterday, a group of almost 20 pilgrims went on a 9-mile walk from here, from St. Margaret's, to the Mill Church on Reigate Heath. We had stops and we prayed. We prayed as we went. And this afternoon, as I said earlier on in the notices, the whole thing culminates in more prayer, Pentecost in the park, churches coming together, different people from different faiths coming together in prayer for thy kingdom to come. And again, St. Margaret's will have a presence there. I know of a number of you who are planning to go. Because gathering with people from other churches, with people coming in off the streets and praying for them has been amazing. But prayer isn't something that's limited to those 10 days between Ascension and Pentecost. Let's go on praying. Let's go on experiencing the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives from day to day. Let's be bold, bold enough to ask for prayer for others, bold enough to ask for an increase in passion, to increase our passion for Christ, our passion for reading scripture, our passion for speaking to other people and loving other people. Because, you know, passion is really attractive. It's what draws people in. I don't know how many of you watched the Royal Wedding yesterday and heard that amazing sermon. Now, not everybody believes, not everybody agreed with it. And I had a look on Facebook, and you know, there were some extraordinary conversations, some extraordinary reactions, both for and against, depending on whether people generally had faith or not. But they didn't ignore it. There was just this amazing reaction, because passion causes a reaction. It causes people to start talking. Lethargy, apathy, lukewarm, that's not attractive. Lukewarm is not going to attract anybody to Christ. Let's be brave enough to ask the Holy Spirit to fill this place, to fill us with passion and with power. If you've never had the courage to truly pray that prayer, asking for the power of the Spirit, you might want to pray that today. If you've come today feeling tired, worn out, a bit lukewarm, you might want to pray for the power of the Holy Spirit. If you have prayed and you know what it is to have the Spirit work in you, don't stop there. Pray for more. Pray to be filled afresh with passion, with power. And this Pentecost, we will change the world. Would you join me now in prayer? Father, we thank you. We thank you for the gift of your Son. We thank you for his sacrifice for us. And we thank you above all today for the gift of the Holy Spirit that for so many years has changed lives and nations. We're bold enough to ask for more of that gift today, this Pentecost. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, Lord. Fill this space with your Holy Spirit. Spirit, fall in this place today and change us. Amen.